A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 29th September 2020. It's a Tuesday class. So we'll continue from where we stopped based on our Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 216. 216. So we will start from 5.0, Sati. Pure awareness before the knowing. Okay, correct. Yes, we are at page 217. And we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will off the light. Then you all can just go ahead with the awareness-based meditation. Always remember the four support, especially the first three. Relax. Relax into all mind state that arise. Just relax, body and mind. Be at ease. Everything, just let it be. If thought arise, let it arise. Whatever sense contact arise through the respective sense door consciousness, let it arise. Just aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't try to know. Don't try to follow whatever that arises. Just continue to relax, maintain awareness or silence. Then the mind will slow down and it will return to its original state before the stirring, before the sankhara activity or thinking. The heedless thinking are there because you lack spiritual faculties. Your five spiritual faculties are lacking, not stable. Your daily mindfulness are not stable. So mental hindrance arise. There in the midst of life, you live a life of heedlessness. Means you lack heedfulness. You are not heedful. When you are not heedful, you cannot be mindful, you cannot be aware. Then you lack the spiritual faculty to transform your mind state into the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. The mind that is not trained without the spiritual faculty think a lot is heedless. Because of habitual tendency, because you lack order, you live a life of disorder. So understanding all this is very important. So in order to develop the meditative mind, technically you don't have to do anything. Just relax. Second support is maintain awareness. Until that silent mind arise. The silent mind is your true mind, your meditative mind. That is your original nature before your mundane mind stir or arise. The awareness nature within is the meditative mind. So you need to realize that. Then you need to stabilize that mind, the awareness nature within, and develop clear understanding of what that thing is. That one is not a being. That one is not a being. That one is just an awareness nature. So meditation is to develop the ability to be in that state so that the mind is calm, clear, and just aware. So this is very important understanding. So relax, maintain awareness. Third support is for as long as you can. Technically it's 24 hours, but initially you can be in the state of mindfulness or awareness during the conscious moment is good enough. Means it includes your daily life. not only in the form of meditation. Means your mindfulness must stabilize until it becomes ever mindful throughout your waking moments. Okay, now I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Then after the alarm from the phone is being triggered off, sati, pure awareness before the knowing. Awareness before the knowing means what? The knowing is your thoughts, perception, your aggregates of mind. Initially, it's just the pure awareness before even feeling or perception arise, before the labeling, the words, and the views and the opinion coming in to interfere. It's just like what the Buddha said. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see, like a physics experiment. Huh? You have the light bulb, you have the switch, you have the battery, then you have the cable to connect them. If everything is functioning in order, then upon contact of the switch, the electricity goes through and light up the light bulb. So the lighting up of the light bulb is like becoming conscious. So if it's at the eye organ, EYE, your eye, then it will light up the seeing consciousness. That's why in the seeing, there is only the light bulb lighting up, just that consciousness. No one to see as yet, because these are nature's law. Everything arises naturally, based on nature's law. So this arising of consciousness at the moment of sense experience is very important. You can't be at that moment because you lack mindfulness, you lack sati. You cannot understand what is going on. Well, your thought interfere very fast. And you straight away stir your mind and react to whatever that arises. So every moment of sense experience, the mundane mind that doesn't have the wisdom, the mindfulness, stability of mindfulness and understanding will stir the mind, will react to sense experience. Because due to wrong view, sakkayaditti or self-delusion, the mundane mind becomes egoic. And this egoic mind has a lot of views, opinion and conditioning. It also has within its accumulated memories, all of his phobia, fear, insecurity, like and dislike, your habitual tendency, all of your accumulated experiences, good and bad. So all this mold the individual. That's the reason why if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom, you cannot see all this. And you don't have the stability of sati and mindfulness, you cannot understand what is happening. So you cannot understand why the Buddha say in the seeing, initially there is only the seeing consciousness. There is no egoic mind to interfere. There is no one to see. The atta or the ego or the personality comes in when the egoic mind, which is deluded, that has the self-delusion or sakkayaditti, come in and interfere. Then this mundane mind, which is egoic, because of that wrong view, believe that he exists. There is a personality. There is a human being, see. That's why they associate it as seeing. Okay, going on to the subjective seeing means somebody see, I see. Therefore, I am, exists already. Then the personality, the egoic mind, give rise to the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. True one. Through that self-delusion, Sakkayaditi. Because that so-called human being or living being will try to own things, have things, possess things, control things. This gives rise to possessiveness, covetousness, greed. That's how the evil root of greed, loba, arise. Then it also has emotion, feelings. When things don't go their way, they will become angry, become violent. That's how they develop envy, jealousy, and unhappiness, hatred, deceitfulness. So all these are the evil roots. Then when they don't understand what is going on, when they project their thought, they give rise to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So this is the evil root of delusion. When you are deluded, you don't have the right view and the right understanding. You tend to have doubt. You then tend to have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So all these are negativity of mind state with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's the reason why the Buddha taught sati, mindfulness, which is a very beautiful mind state that other religions don't teach. Only recently, the modern religion that tends toward awareness base or present moment awareness, they mention about it. They have some form of teaching. But the Buddha was the first to teach sati. So when I started, I also don't know what sati was or sati is. So at that time, I tried to find out. Nobody can teach. Nobody can really define what sati is. Then I read the book. The book also very strange, very funny definition of sati. In fact, there is no definition at all. But they use this word mindfulness interchangeably with sati. And nobody can really define what mindfulness is. In fact, mindfulness comes from these two words, mind in fullness. But full of what? Never explained, never mentioned. Then they use mindfulness interchangeably with sati, tending towards recollection or memory. Then they thought the noting is sati, the verbalizing is sati. So a lot of things they do, they believe that is sati. Not understanding clearly what sati is. Until later on, when I develop my anapanasati until it's very clear, then I start to develop the clear understanding of what sati is. Until my mind enters sati. And when I do the daily mindfulness, the bowing, until the sati arise, until the mind enters sati. Then straight away, my nature understands what sati is. That's why I can define to you what sati is. So this chapter 5 is very important. Sati is actually the pure awareness before the knowing. You go back to the notes. Eh? The title, sati, pure awareness before the knowing. And what is that pure awareness? That pure awareness is the awareness nature before the arising of thought, the thinking, the sankhara activity. before the mundane mind arises. That is your true mind, your true nature, your pure awareness nature before the arising of the mundane mind, thinking mind or sankhara. That's why sati is awareness before the knowing. Then I try to explain deeper because very few people understand. What do you mean by awareness before the knowing? What is awareness? Is awareness different from the knowing? You have to understand that. Definitely it's different, isn't it? When you are just aware, there is no word, no concept, no verbalization, no chattering. The mind is just aware, silent. Like the baby, newborn baby, the awareness is there. The memory got nothing, no recording. There's like no word, no thought, nothing. Just the pure awareness. So awareness before the knowing means before the arising of the thought's perception, the arising of feeling, sensation, emotion, views, opinion, and conditioning, even your belief system, your religious label, and all of your traditions that you hold on to, all your conditioning from the society, the education, and also people who take care of you since birth. Could be your parents, your guardian, or your mate or whoever who take care of you. They are the one that teach you, educate you, or condition you into believing things, into learning things. Then you lost your ability to be aware. You become conscious instead. So what is consciousness? What is awareness? You have to understand. When the Buddha say in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, what does he mean? Means upon contact, that pure consciousness. Pure means before the content goes in. When the pure vijnana is without the content of consciousness, which is the sankhara, which includes the aggregates of feeling and perception. This sankhara are all your mind states, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, and your various type of belief system, etc. All of your conditioning, accumulated memories, phobia, scars of memory, all these things, even your insecurity and all these things. So before all these things come in and interfere with your consciousness, that is your pure consciousness before the content goes in. So the moment you are conscious, it is actually your pure awareness. But the moment the content goes in, you are no longer with the consciousness. That consciousness has the content and it has become a thought. That's why thought is response to memory. From memory, the content went in. Your memory are your accumulation of views, opinion, conditioning, whatever experiences, good and bad. So all these accumulated memories, conditioning, views, opinion, including the habitual tendency, everything, your belief system, your whatever tradition, even all of your other type of religious teaching that you cling on to, hold on to. They are part of your memory. So from there, you act. That's how you input the content. And before you are enlightened, you always arise wrong thoughts which are egoic. That's why the content of consciousness is seldom with right view. It's seldom with right thought, right speech, right action, right mental intention. And because of that, heedless living beings who are not enlightened or the Buddha Jhana, they tend to get themselves entangled with the thought process. So when they input the wrong content, wrong thought will arise. That's how they trigger off all of the mental states that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Like what I define for you all. What are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your doubt, your selfishness, your insecurity, your whatever emotion, positive and negative, even craving, desire, lust. So all these are wrong thoughts because of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion born of sakkayadity, self-delusion. So for you to arise right thought based on right view, leading to right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the ability to have the Noble Eightfold Path Factor, you must continuously silence your mind to develop this awareness nature within. Stabilize it until it's very stable. Then you can see things as they are clearly. Then you can be at the moment of perception, at the moment of feeling, at the moment of sankhara activity, and at the moment of the pure consciousness. Means at the moment of consciousness, before the content goes in, you are able to be aware. And there is the direct seeing. And there is the silent mind that can insight into phenomena, awaken, and understand what is going on. Then you see clearly how when the content of consciousness goes in, it conditions you to stir your mind to react to sense experience, to arise the wrong thought, the evil roots, thereby triggering off the emotion, the suffering, the misery. So upon seeing all this, you start to understand who are you, what are you, how you function as a human being. Then you start to straighten your view. It is because of sakkayadity, this wrong view, that living beings develop habitual tendency to stir their mind, to react to sense experience. Whenever they see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile, feel or think of something. The conditioning from the brain, the memory, the mind, the mundane mind, will cause you to react or stir your mind. So the stirring of mind and the reaction to sense experience leads to the lack of peace. And since it's already so habitual, so strongly ingrained in your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, they have become habits. We call it habitual tendency. So if you constantly throughout the day give rise to this habitual stirring of the mind and reaction to sense experience, you will create mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will continuously, non-stop. And what are these sensual desire and ill will? The first two mental hindrance. That's the reason why they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. You cannot meditate. You cannot be mindful, heedful, and aware because you lack the spiritual faculties. You have this habitual tendency that stir and react. And you do it so often, it becomes habits. Then very difficult to reverse this habitual tendency. Then it becomes anusaya, asava. That's how the mind gets itself pulled into the delusion. So in order to free, you need this awareness, sati, or mindfulness, to see clearly, to understand, then reflect, contemplate, to stabilize the understanding, thereby straightening your views. When you start to straighten your view, then you develop the understanding. Then you will have to follow the advice of the Buddha based on his teaching. How come I stir my mind when I see something, hear something? Why can't I be at peace? Why can't I accept the reality of the moment? Then you look into the teaching. What did the Buddha teach? The Buddha teach very direct teaching. He call it direct pointing to the truth and the reality. He said, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. So learn to be aware of that. Learn to understand that. So that you don't have this self-delusion, sakkayaditti, so that you don't cling and grasp onto the five aggregates of form and mind, thinking that it is you, they belong to you. Learn to observe and insight into phenomena to see their universal characteristic, the five aggregate, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vinyana, that they are impermanent. When you attach and cling, one thing's your way, it leads to suffering, misery. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity where you can cling onto, hold onto, and grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Without this self-delusion, there is no craving, no clinging, no grasping, no greed, no hatred, no delusion. See them clearly. Then the Buddha said, learn to see things as they are. Thing is just the way they are. Why? He said, whatever that arises, there are always causes and conditions behind. It can never be otherwise. We have the causes and conditions already set, established. That's why things is just the way it is. It has to be this way. If you have that understanding and you can see things as they are and accept the reality of the moment, then you are at peace. That's why he said, learn to see things as they are. Before your memory come in, before your views, opinion and conditioning and accumulated memory comes in and interfere to stir the mind. So only the awareness nature, the sati, has the ability to observe, to see and understand. That's why without sati, there is no meditation. Without sati, you cannot develop the understanding, the awakening, the wisdom. So sati is most important. That's why that chapter is very important. Sati is the first enlightenment factor. Without sati, you cannot be heedful. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 21, very clear. So everything needs sati. For sati is life. Without sati, you are like blind. You are like completely lost. Spiritually, you don't stand a chance. Then without sati, you can't even keep precept. Without sati, you cannot cultivate satipatthana, the four foundation of mindfulness. Without sati, you cannot meditate, you cannot arise the four right effort, you cannot even keep your precept. So sati is so important. That's why we need to understand this term. Then with the understanding, develop the meditation. Okay, hopefully this is clear enough. Then we go back to the notes. And hopefully by now, you should have better understanding. Now I will read through the whole thing. Awareness before the known. The title is Sati. What is Sati? Sati is a pure awareness before the knowing. So when we talk about pure awareness before the knowing, we have to understand what it means. Awareness before the knowing means what? It means before the arising of the thought's perception, which is the aggregate of mind, the feeling, the sankhara, mental states or emotion, views and opinion, etc., and the consciousness. So this knowing is the aggregates of mind, especially the sankhara content of consciousness. So awareness is just a pure awareness, or sati is just a pure awareness before the knowing, before even feeling or perception arise, before the labeling, the words, and the views and the opinion coming into interfere. It is just like what the Buddha said, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. So this part is very important. Eh? Just the pure consciousness arising, like the physics experiment. The pure awareness before you input the content of consciousness, or just the pure direct seeing without words, without the labeling, without your conscious mind focusing or perceiving to memory, to recall, etc. So this paragraph 5.0, sati, pure awareness before the knowing, is very important. Read through it, understand it. Then only you can learn the meditation. Then only you can do it, get it right. Then only you can understand what that self nature is, what that pure awareness, the silent mind is, what is your true mind. Then we move on, 5.1. General spacious awareness without a center. It is just a general spacious awareness, just aware without a center. The moment thought come in, it means you have already focused or recalled through memory, and that's not sati anymore. That's why the moment you perceive something, how do you perceive? Take for example of the Buddha image in your house or at the back, the altar behind me. You look at the Buddha image. How do you perceive it? Your nature is spacious awareness, but you focus on the Buddha image. You shrink your spacious awareness into that small space. Then from there, you recall through memory that this is a Buddha Rupang, or a Buddha image, Sakyamuni Buddha. That's how you label it. To what? Mental perception, to memory, to your views, opinion and conditioning. Whatever knowledge that you have, that you carry in your memory. So the perception, before the words come in, before the content of consciousness go in, is just that thing. Means this pure seeing, the direct seeing, is just like the Zen seeing, the second level of seeing. Kan san, bu si san, where the word, the label doesn't come in. It's just the pure awareness. That see before the memory come in, before the word, the concept, the labeling, the conditioning. If your sati is not stable enough, you don't have that stability, you cannot have this pure perception, the direct seeing. You cannot have a moment without thought. You cannot really be in the state of presence or awareness. For you to have that ability, you must have very stable sati. When your sati is very stable, you can have general spacious awareness, or you can be aware of phenomena, specific phenomenal awareness. Means aware. There is no real perception. You can aware, perceive, and move on. That one is okay. Yeah, you have to live life. But you will not go and think, proliferate your thought. You want to understand, you can reflect, you can contemplate, you can develop the understanding. But when you live life, you are fully aware. Your awareness nature is there. Your sati is very stable. That's how you become ever mindful. Heedfulness means ever mindful, constantly meditating. You must be in that state of mind to meditate, to be in the spiritual field. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 very clearly explain the importance of heedfulness. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So without that stability of mindfulness, you cannot go with life. You cannot understand what is going on. You cannot know the complexity of your thought process. You are not able to have the direct seeing. You cannot observe silently without thought. You cannot listen attentively. So the art of listening, the art of seeing, is very important. Without sati, the stability of it, you can't. And without sati, there is no real meditation. Your meditation is about the awareness that can develop the understanding of truth, the reality. When you have this ability, you will awaken. Then you can straighten your view. Once you awaken, your views will be straightened. Then you will no longer be deluded. You will no longer be deceived by the phenomenal of form and consciousness. The mundane mind becomes very clear to you. It serves you. It is a tool for you to use to arise the right thought with right view and right understanding. Without right view, the wisdom and the right understanding, you cannot arise the right thought. So thought depends on the user. The user of thought decides what type of thought. If the user is deluded, thought become wrong thought. Deluded thought, heedless thinking. If the user of thought has wisdom, has awakened, has the Dhamma understanding, then thought become right thought, wholesome thought, useful thought. And that is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and all the other path factors. So this understanding is very important. Our thought is neither good or bad until the user come in, the user of thought. It's like money. We cannot believe what people say, money is the root of all evil. No. If you know how to use money appropriately, wisely, money is very useful. It can do a lot of wholesome things. It can help the world in many ways. So like money is neither good or evil. Money is just money. But the use of money is very important. If you use money to create problem or cause havoc, to buy assassins, to kill people, to cause disharmony, to bribe, and to do all those negative thing that leads to negativity of karmic. Then money becomes evil because the user of that money is evil. But if you use it for donation, for charity, to help humanity, mankind, to clean up the environment, to be a blessing to all, then money become wholesome, money become useful. So similarly, your thought is the same. The user of thought is most important. That's why all of cultivation needs a deed to give rise to wisdom. And when there is wisdom connected to the form and mind, this form and mind become beautiful. Then you can say the form and mind with the wisdom is enlightened. But that one is dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena, not you. It is not a permanent unchanging entity. But it belongs to you, karmically connected. This is just a karmically conditioned form and mind, a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world, conditioned world, to live life, to experience life, to cultivate, to go through all the whatever coming, to fulfill your vows and do whatever you want. If you have the wisdom and the understanding, then this form and mind become beautiful. If you are deluded, heedless, without the Dhamma understanding, then this form and mind become a potential time bomb. It will be heedless and it can cause a lot of suffering and misery to the world. It will harm itself and harm others. Then indirectly harm the environment, pollute the world consciousness. So all these are part and parcel of life, part and parcel of the teaching, the Dhamma. Once you understand, you become different. You cultivate it differently. You will have joy. You will have gratitude. You will have respect for the Buddha. And you will have a lot of joy because of that understanding. Then you can become a blessing to all. Then life take a turn. Life become beautiful, meaningful, and wonderful. Then you can really live life. Live life to the fullest. Experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. You can really experience nature. Every moment is so pristine, so beautiful, so wonderful. So this transformed mind state with the wisdom connected is so beautiful. It's always in the state of heedfulness. Heedfulness means what? It's ever mindful, constantly meditative, with clarity, with joy, with understanding. There is peace, there is tranquility, there is stillness of mind. No more heedless thinking. No more unnecessary sankhara activity or movement. Then you can see things as they are. Develop the joy, the happiness within the moment, then everything that arises is so beautiful, so pristine. So this is what Dhamma is all about. Okay, hopefully I've explained detail enough so that you all can really understand. Now I will move on. So when you want to understand what sati is, you need to have a very calm and still silent mind. If your mind is not silent, the true nature cannot shine forth. The true mind cannot come out because your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it is aware within this moment, or it is lost in thought, heedlessly thinking. Heedlessly lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, you are preoccupied with your thought process. How can you be aware? The human being, because of their heedlessness and their delusion, they are constantly lost in thought and they think a lot. And they are seldom or hardly aware. That is the reason why the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead, means spiritually dead. So if you cannot train your mind to be heedful, you don't stand a chance. The heedless are as if dead. So you need to really train your mind to be heedful. And what is heedfulness? We have gone through. There are two components to be developed for you to be heedful, in the state of heedfulness. First, the Buddha said you must be ever mindful. Then the second component is constantly meditative. Then you need to inquire, how can I be ever mindful? I must initially train my mind to be aware, to be mindful first. Then I must stabilize it to be ever mindful. The stabilizing of it, I already explained many times. If you do anapanasati, then you have to develop that training until the mind becomes very quiet and very still, until the mind enters sati without anchoring it anywhere. Finally, the breath like stop, no more breathing, or initially it's very subtle breathing. Then as you continue to maintain awareness at that breath, means around your nostril where there is this subtle breathing. Initially it's like no more breath, very difficult to be mindful. But don't worry, just relax, maintain awareness, be patient, stay there. Until the awareness becomes very, very refined. Until the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, you would have reached a more refined mindfulness or awareness. Then that subtle breathing, which is like no more breathing, come back to you. It becomes like very clear again. Then that very slow movement, very short breath movement, is like magnified. And you can just stay there and maintain awareness, because that small, very subtle movement is good enough for you to maintain awareness. Then later on, it becomes very, very fine, very still, until completely no more breath, no more movement. Initially, there is some internal breathing, very shallow, very subtle. Like you no need to breathe, you hardly breathe. But you will not die, you will not suffocate. Oh, because that state is so different, so wonderful. You are so still, like most of the time you are without breath. Then during that time, the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, means that nature, which is your awareness nature, and your mind, they merge. That is the time when the thinking stops. Sankara stop, aggregate of mind stop, the mundane mind all stop. Then when your mind enters sati, you can be ever mindful. Well, after that, the mind that has entered sati, whatever that mind interact with, like seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, it arises with mindfulness. That's why you see with awareness, specific phenomenal awareness. You hear with awareness. The hearing is in sati. The seeing is in sati. The smell, the taste, the tactile, and the sankara activity, they are all in sati. The awareness and the movement move as one. That's how you can develop the stability of sati. Mind must enter sati. If you do rising falling, is the same. until the rising falling light, no more movement, very still. And continue to stay there until the mind, without any anger, without any object of meditation, can also maintain awareness. Means a free mind that is aware, still, no thinking. That is the true mind. The mind has entered sati. Means the mind is in sati. Not until you can have that type of stability, technically you cannot meditate. Daily mindfulness cannot be stabilized. So when you are able to do that, then you have this state of ever mindful, the first part. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then you become ever mindful, constantly meditative. That's how you become heedful. Then the third way to allow the mind to enter sati is very easy. You follow the four support that I teach you. Relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Don't try to know. Let the mind settle down until the mind becomes very quiet, very still. Initially, you can go to the heartbeat around your heart. Whatever you can detect, whether vibration or your heartbeat, stay there. But the mind that has entered sati is very sensitive. Wherever you locate the mind, it can detect a lot of things. Even your heartbeat, your pulse, your vibration within your body. No need stethoscope. You can feel them. You can become aware of them. Especially when you are lying down. Then whatever your hand or kaya lay upon, you silence your mind, all the vibration, everything that arise within your bodily tactile, you can feel them. The sensation become very, very intense. Like you become very sensitive. Even you place your awareness in your brain when you taste something or eat something, you can know which part of the brain is activated, responsible for that type of sensation and all those things. Then you become very sensitive. Your body, entire body, when it has problem or whatever, or something like not right, you are able to be aware. You can detect them. Then whenever the slightest of, not to say stress, the slightest of emotion or dislike or whatever, you can detect them very easily. That's how your mind becomes so different, transformed. That's why you cannot have suffering and misery or unhappiness, because the mind is so sensitive. The slightest dislike or subtle dislike is already aware. The slightest movement of the mundane mind is already aware. It can detect. That's why all this cannot arise. Stability of mindfulness is most important. Without that stability of mindfulness, you cannot understand what I try to share with you. So this sati is very important. Develop it, then stabilize it. Then when you are able to be aware with a free mind at your heart area, even your heartbeat initially is like very gross, pounding. Then it will slow down until it becomes very quiet and very still. Then finally, like no more heartbeat. It has become so quiet and so still. And when the wisdom and the understanding is there, when the condition is as appropriate and right, you will experience the cessation of form and mind, the realization of Nibbana. Initially, it's the glimpse of Nibbana, the sainthood way. That one is relatively easy, quite easy to realize that, that moment of cessation. Whoever, whatever form and mind that goes through that will understand clearly. And when they come out of it, they will know what that thing is. Then their whole understanding is transformed. they really understand what Sakyaditi is. Then they really understand why the five aggregate of form and mind is not what you think. That's why even a Sotapanna will know that form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity, although he still has the other seven fetters. But the first three fetters, very important, the most powerful is the first one, Sakyaditi. Once that one is gone, then the other two also will follow. So the first three fetters that bind living being to samsara can be realized by a sotapan or sotapanna. So Sakyaditi or self-delusion is most important. Then after it has that awakening, that cessation, even a glimpse of nibbana, it will have the understanding, it will not be deluded or deceived by the form and mind. Then after that, the faith in the triple gem, unshakable. You tell them after you die, you become what? They know you don't understand. You are talking about something else which you yourself don't understand. But he know the form and mind is not real. Dependent origination, condition arising. When condition ceases to be, it disperses. It goes the way of nature, finished. No more story. Then after that, when you tell him about rite and ritual, you know, he don't believe you anymore. When he understand the law of karma, he know what karma is. And he is very different. He no longer believe in all those, what they call rites and ritual, where the world get trapped and become entangled. Rite and ritual come from tradition, religious belief and all this. All the various views, opinion and conditioning, belief systems. So all this, the cultivator will go through. They will develop the wisdom to transcend the first three fetters. Then later as they cultivate, even the other seven fetters, they get rooted out. That's how finally avijja, ignorance, also rooted out. When there is no more ignorance, that form and mind will become arahant. Then there is no more segmented life, birth and death. Means upon death, the arahant ceases to be. There is no ignorance at the death moment. The death consciousness does not condition ignorant thought or rebirth consciousness to take rebirth. But those who can continue with the bodhisattva way, they will not die. Where they know what death is, no reality, no one dies. He know you, he know me. No one born, no one sick, no one old, no one dies. So with that understanding, they can go on and move on to cultivate the bodhisattva way. They will first have to develop the understanding to take the four basic vows of a bodhisattva. Then through that understanding, they will know how to walk this path. You need affinity. You need condition for you to have this teaching. Also karmic affinity, karmic condition. So all this will arise if you have cultivated correctly, appropriately, if you have developed the affinity with all the great beings. So this bodhisattva way is not straightforward, not so easy. It's seldom taught in the Theravada tradition. The Theravada tradition only know that Sammasambuddha did it, especially Sakyamuni Buddha. There's a lot of Jataka story. Then they even had the chronicles, many volume of the chronicles on the life of the Buddha, how he became Sammasambuddha Buddha, and how he met Dipankara Buddha that gave him the prediction and all those things. But how he cultivated the 10 perfection was not really elaborated on. It was silent. And how he take the vow to Bodhisattva also not mentioned. It just mentioned that he has to perfect the 10 perfection, the 10 paramitas to become Sammasambuddha. So all this, you have to refer to the Mahayana teaching. The Mahayana teaching is very deep and elaborated. It's very, very clearly elaborated in the Mahayana teaching, the Bodhisattva way. And there are many forms of tradition to go that way. You have the Pure Land tradition. You also have the straightforward Mahayana tradition. They call it the Zen tradition. Then later on, they divide into many, I think it's division of Mahayana tradition. But most of them point towards the same teaching, except they approach it differently. Then nowadays in our modern society, we can also see how all the great masters of the different traditions evolve and come up with different understanding and teaching of the Mahayana teaching. I used to explain to you all these four traditions, which is very useful, and I found them very useful. First is Ciji, compassion in action, Ren Jian Pu Sa, means you cultivate the Bodhisattva way, following that the path to truth for modern day Bodhisattvas, practitioner, means Bodhisattva in the midst of society, Ren Jian Pu Sa. Then they go through compassion in action. From relieving suffering, they help those who are interested, who come as volunteers and members or disciples, to actually develop the understanding through listening to her sharing, her teaching. Then you have the other tradition, the Fo Quang Sun singing. Fo Quang is Buddhist education. They are expert in Buddhist education, and they develop the Mahayana tradition based on special emphasis on the Buddhist education. So when you develop the understanding of the teaching, if you want to learn fast, you can go there. Fo Quang is a good place. Their temples, their monastery, their branches, they are all very well designed, very well equipped. They are also one of the great Buddhist traditions that has a lot of centers and followers. Then the other one is Fa Ku San, the late Zhenyan Fa Si. He passed away a few years back. Zhenyan Fa Si is famous for meditation. So if you want to learn meditation, actually that is a good place. Fa Ku San. So you look at all these three traditions, you can combine them all, you become very good. You learn the teaching from Fo Quang, then you go and develop serious meditation from Fa Ku San. In fact, Fo Quang also has his meditation, but Fa Ku San is more specialized. Then after that, you come back to Ciji to help. Compassion in action and do all the work. Then you want to understand the deeper Bodhisattva way, you go to Zhong Tai Chan Si, where that tradition actually specialized in training bodhisattvas to become Sammasambuddha, plant the seed of Bodhi and all those things. But Fakusan also has that training. They also have that teaching. They are not specialized in that. They specialize in meditation. In fact, Fo Quang also have, but the emphasis is mainly on Buddhist study, Buddhist education. So different tradition has evolved and do different things. So you can combine them all. It will be beautiful. Then for me, my nature is different. My nature arises because I just want to share this teaching. And condition is such, I met up with two great beings who helped me, and one of them requested me to come out and share this teaching. Then the other thing about my nature is not only it has that teaching which is very unique, which I've been sharing with you all, and it is also recorded in our website, but my nature has a special understanding of the Bodhisattva vow. That's why it teaches you that direct way that will cut short your training. The yellow card, the Bodhisattva vow, all summarized there. If you can follow that one and develop the understanding and plant the seed of Bodhi and affirm yourself, take that vow seriously until it becomes part of your nature, then life after life, whenever you arise, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you will have this understanding, the right view, the right Dhamma understanding. That you plant the basic vow of the Bodhisattva early, that seed, the Bodhi seed, will nurture, become very beautiful. Then by the time the next asana, you would have become very beautiful beings. So that part, make a note. And don't miss this golden window of opportunity. If you miss this asana of Sakyamuni, it's going to be a long, long way. So plant the seed of Bodhi, develop the vow, aspiration, and make the affirmation, evoke our merits for all this to arise and happen. Okay, we go on. Yes, I'll finish already. Yes. So now we are at 5.2. Awareness and clear comprehension of Sati Sampajana. Now this is the topic where many cultivators also can't really understand. Because awareness itself, Sati, is already so difficult. And clear comprehension is also equally difficult. But these two need to be combined, because Sati or awareness without clear comprehension can lead you astray. Where without clear comprehension, you can go wrong. Your meditation can go astray. The four clear comprehension is the one that guide you, prevent you from going astray. That one I have explained before. So you can go and read out. I will read to you the sharing based on what Sister Chui's question is. So Sister Chui asks, then is it okay for me to think of the four foundation of mindfulness as the four foundation of awareness? Is it appropriate? So this one comes from this question. I say yes, you can say that it's not harmful. But later part in the sutta, they add in the word sampajana, which is clear comprehension, and call it sati sampajana. So you must not only be mindful, you must also have clear comprehension of what you are mindful of. That's why the third category of cultivation, the kaya nupassana, is awareness and clear comprehension, or sati sampajana, or what is going on, or they call it sati sampajana, or what is going on within the moment. There is clarity. Then there is also the sentence, aware internally and externally. All this you will slowly understand when you cultivate. Before you cultivate, and you have not realized the enlightenment as yet, it's very difficult for you to use your mundane mind's rational thinking to try to understand. So this part, bear in mind, make a note. Because before you awaken, living being has only one instrument, the mundane mind. So it is very difficult for you to use your mundane mind's rational thinking, to rationalize, to try to understand what the enlightened being tried to explain to you. When you use thought, it is very difficult. That's why Miss Lee printed out this J. Krishnamurti's quote on what is awareness, which I just sent out for sharing today through the internet. Maybe it's meant to be. So this one is very good, that J. Krishnamurti quote. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. See, Krishnamurti also defined it. But his definition is very beautiful. But it's very difficult for normal Theravada practitioner or Mahayana practitioner to understand. Yeah, he used day-to-day words. But when you understand what awareness is, then you understand. That below J. Krishnamurti's daily quote was read by Sister Engby at Predator's request. So this part, I remember, the sharing was very profound and very beautiful. So you listen. I will read through the whole quote first, then later on I explain one by one. So this one take a while. Yeah, I remember this topic number 5 is very long. I think from 5.1, 5.2, 5.3, we go until 5.12, more than that, 5.14, 17, 5.3.17, 19. See, a lot of subsection, 5.3.20. It's very long. Until 20, yes, page 237, almost 20 pages. Okay, you listen. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. This is a very precise definition. So the first quality is what? Awareness is the silent. First requirement, you must be completely without thought. Silent means aware. Sati. And choiceless observation means what? No view, no opinion, no conditioning, understand? Choiceless, you don't make a choice. Choiceless observation, just observe the pure observation of what is. What is the reality, like the Buddha said. Suchness, condition like that, things will be like that. Ta-ta-ta. Then Krishnamurti said, in this awareness, the problem reveal itself. He used the word unroll or unfold itself, but I prefer the word reveal itself or unfold itself. And thus, it is fully and completely understood. This is most beautiful. Because when you are just silently aware, without any choice, you will understand everything, like I explained. How you become what you are, how you stir your mind, how you react, how you arise the wrong view, the emotion, the content of consciousness that actually condition you into negativity and mold you into what you are. Your sakrality, your self-delusion, your ignorant, your heedless thinking. So all this, you can see them clearly only if you are aware, mindful, means silent, choiceless awareness of what is, of the reality within the moment. And thus, it is fully and completely understood. That's how you straighten your view. That's how you awaken. That's how you develop wisdom. A problem is never solved on its own level. So this one, you must understand. This is not easy to understand, but it's very beautiful, but you must understand. Why do we call it a problem? Because you perceive it negativity. So Krishnamurti said a problem is never solved on its own level. Why? Because when you analyze, when you reason, or you rationalize, you cannot solve it. You are using thought. You cannot have the understanding. Then he said, this problem being complex, it must be understood in its total process. Means you must have the wisdom or the understanding, the total understanding of it. Means you must have the ability to observe with the sati, to awaken to it, to understand its universal characteristic, to see, to observe clearly, silent, choiceless awareness, and see things as they are, or what is. So this is what you must do. If you can do that, then you can understand. Thus, it is fully and completely understood. So I read again. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. In this awareness, the problem unfolds itself, and thus it is fully and completely understood. A problem is never solved on its own level. Being complex, it must be understood in its total process. To try to solve a problem on only one level, physical or psychological, leads to further conflict and confusion. You know what is psychological level? Using thought. And physical level means mundane level. So mundane and thought-based leads to further conflict and confusion. This is what reasoning is all about. This is what they use the mind, the mundane mind, to analyze, to reason, to rationalize, and after that they try to come up with a solution. That is all thought based. That's why I said to try to solve a problem on only one level, whether physical or psychological, means thought based and the mundane way, will lead to further conflict and confusion. For the realization of a problem, see, the word must be realization of a problem. Resolution. It's same. The realization and the resolution is the same. When you can realize the problem, you can resolve it. For the resolution of a problem, there must be this awareness. See, this word awareness. This passive alertness. It must be passive because choiceless. You must not do anything. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. Just aware and you understand. Which reveals its total process. Jai Krishnamurti. This is most beautiful. Okay, it's already 10 o'clock. I think we stop here. We stop at 5.3.1. Next Thursday. The coming Thursday, we will go into it. So this is beautiful. Then I will explain clearly. Then you will understand what sati is, what meditation is. Okay, let us rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Hello, Rajio.
Yeah.
Good evening. Hi, sir, the Kaya Mita.
Yeah, Tammy nominated me.
啊，我知道，我有的感，我有感觉，今天我会被叫。
好啊，那就
Pradio， 不知不觉我们在你那边学习已经快要八年了。
呀，很快啊。
Almost 8 years already.
时间过得真快哦。
Yeah, 真快啊。
其实，我们年龄跟着成长，可是我们还是老样子，我觉得。
为什么呢？
因为我们还是在生活里面，就是往往就是有一点点小事，还是被 stir 啊，被。
哦，那是你 as you go through the cultivation, you will actually experience them. Actually, 有时候啊。Maybe I use some English is better, huh? Yeah, people don't understand Mandarin. Huh? Maybe I translate Alicia's sharing first. Huh? She said she has all of a sudden realized that she has been following my classes for 8 years. They say time flies very fast. 2012, now 2020.Yun Chan longer. Yun Chan started since the year 2004. So this year, this coming end of October, our gathering will be exactly 16 years since my nature come out to share. Yeah. So according to Alicia, he said, you sometimes when she reflected back, he said, like, we have age, he said. Yeah, over the 8 years, they have aged. But he realized the human form and mind didn't really grow that much. Yeah, he said, I asked her why. 成长啊, means didn't, 成长, what is the meaning? 成长, grow, mature, mature, become more mature.And more develop more understanding and wisdom. He said, in the sense, she realized when confronted with situation or problem, the mundane mind sometimes can still stir. So I explained to her, this is part and parcel of the cultivation.As you develop the ability to be more sensitive, more mindful, more aware, you tend to see this more clearly. Yeah, last time when you are heedless, you cannot see. That's why she went into depression without understanding what is going on. And she has been depressed before coming to see me for almost 16 years. And she was lucky because there were conditions. Then later on,Without her knowing, she came out of it because after listening to my sharing, she developed certain understanding that actually transformed her and changed her. So in that respect, she has grew and matured. But as she developed the cultivation, she realized that it's not easy to root it out completely. No.But at least now, there is a lot of understanding based on the Dhamma way that she has developed. Her meditation has progressed, her understanding has progressed. But when it comes to mundane life situation, involving loved ones, involving career, business, involving life, it's not so straightforward and easy to root out once and for all.So this type of thing will continue. But as you cultivate, you develop more stability of wisdom and understanding that as you straighten your view more and more, like Po Cheng, you become different. So you cultivate following the Abhijja Sutta step by step. Then when you realize step 4 and 5, you progress very fast. So she may have to go through that step 4 and 5, stabilize it, and then from there move. Step 2, she has developed the constant listening to the Dhamma. Then step 3, reflection, contemplation, develop the faith, all those things she has done. But step 4, the initial wisdom, yoniso, manasikara, that is the part she needs to stabilize it. She has some form of understanding, but the stability of it is not there. So you need to stabilize that initial wisdom, yoniso, manasikara, so that it can straight away come out and prompt you, then your mind know what to do. The solution is there, the answer is there. And as it arises, that thing like take a while, initially take a while to subside, because the habitual tendency has been there for so strong. And initially, like it keep on arising, then when you understand, yoniso manasika come out, it subside. Understand? Aware? Subside. But as you stabilize your understanding, it will become very different. Then suddenly one day you realize, hey, it does not stir anymore. It does not react anymore. It has become different. It understands what problem is. Like just now that J. Krishnamurti quote, once you go through that one and understand everything, there is no more a problem. You don't perceive it, negativity is no more a problem. Then thing is just the way it is, the reality. So accept the reality, be at peace. See things as they are. All this stability or wisdom, you may heard of it before, but you have not stabilized understanding. That's why you cannot apply. And it doesn't help you to completely root out the understanding. It's not so fast. Your daily mindfulness has to stabilize. Then after that, your sati sambhajana, space within thought. You must have more and more sati, more and more clear comprehension. Until your mind enters sati, until your mind becomes very stable, ever mindful, constantly meditating. And then you can have sense restraint. And then that time onward, you become different. The three way of right conduct all will surface. Step 6, step 7 all will surface. Then you become beautiful. Then you can go into step 8, cultivation of sati, sampadana. Four foundation of mindfulness, satipatthana. Then after that, step 9 is arising of the 7 factors of enlightenment, leading to the step 10, which is enlightenment in the here now. So all these steps within the Avijja Sutta, you have to really, really stabilize it and progress. So step 4 and 5 is important. You have to stabilize it. Once you stabilize it until your mind enters sati, you are heedful throughout the day, then all this rooting out become possible. So for Alicia, I think she can do it, provided she determine and become very serious. Because she has good affinity with some of the great beings. And she learned quite fast. The only thing is the stability of the understanding is not so straightforward and easy for her. That's what she is going through. Okay, Alicia, 能够了解吗?
好,Brad Jill,谢谢Brad Jill.
还有什么? 你还可以share?
其实我觉得 cultivation 其实真的是一个很好的 path， 因为它让我们随着我们经过的 test 一直在成长。
Yeah, very true.
就是所有的 test 都在 让我们学习的成长， 然后增加我们的 so-called understanding，
Then you have to constantly reflect, contemplate until it becomes very, very clear. You have to link up all the other essential Dhamma, like the three universal characteristics. learning to see things as they are. People is just the way they are, like what Ng Bee went through. The world is the world, condition like that, things we like that. Then like even that day, my daughter sharing together with Tammy's real life problem and how to deal with all those things. These are very beautiful solutions. The essential Dhamma, they are related to life. Like I shared that day, I say, whatever arise and happen in the initial encounter, I call it encounter. So what you need to teach all these people is where they are new, they are not clear about the Dhamma. So you have to actually reduce their fear or help them to overcome their fear so that they will understand that no amount of fear, worry, anxiety is going to help them. That's why they must develop the training of the mind to be peaceful, to be aware, to be calm, then accept the reality of the moment, to see things as they are, then act with clarity, make good decisions. But human beings' problem is they can't, because they don't know what is going on. So the first thing they do is they panic, they project their thought, they worry. Then they arise all the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Some even can have panic attack and all those things. So what you should do is, depending on the situation, we can guide them through. Even for Kayamita who go through, you can develop the understanding. Ask yourself what actually happened. Then what is the worst case scenario? Like that day they're sharing, Tammy on, it's about career, nothing serious. And not even her job threatened, it's just an experience of the motorbike, and the big motorbike thing that can trigger off so much fear. So much like accumulated phobia until she can see that this is coming even before she sleep and all this thing. Then all this are haunting her. This is real life situation. But even though she has heard the Dhamma, developed the Dhamma sharing with us, but not easy to apply. So I gave her the example of the lady who has depression and fear of losing her job. So that one is, I told her, your case is nothing compared to people with terminal cancer and all those things. Yours is only a job. Worst case scenario is you lose your job. Then after that, we even advise her that you have your right. You can go to industrial court and claim for compensation and all those things. They cannot just sack you without proper reason. Otherwise, they are in breach of the labor law. So all this understanding will calm them down initially. Then they are willing to listen. Then I remember she finally took out a piece of paper. Yeah, I keep on pointing out to her, I said, you are not listening. Then she keep on telling me her problem now. She said, but Brother Theo, they all do this to me and all those things. And a lot of things he didn't tell me later on when I found out, only she starts to admit. And I said, you better listen. You have not been listening. You are still full of fear, worry, anxiety, panic. And you just want to tell me that side of the story which you yourself try to cover. The real story behind, you didn't really want to share with people or let people know. Then later on, when the friend that followed her disclosed it, then only she admitted what happened. I say the way you do all this is really a breach, and they may have good reason to sack you. So why do you do that? Harass another colleague. Nobody can actually tolerate her. She, according to her own remark or sharing. He said that HR came to know that he sent about 200 to 300 SMS to one colleague. No? That is harassment. No? And this is a lady harassing a man. No? Until they file a complaint to HR and all those things. That's why a lot of funny problem arising within the working environment, career environment. So luckily all this can be resolved through Dhamma understanding. That's why a lot of skillful means that can be applied, need to be applied. Then my daughter also applied one of them, like driving a new car, expensive car, sport car, then going to places where she is not familiar. And the situation may arise where you're stuck at the junction, you don't know where to turn left or right. Then you stop there, the car at the back will horn you. Then when they horn you, you panic, you heedlessly make a move, and an accident worse. So she developed the skillful mean here through an understanding and awareness, and after knowing the Dhamma is it. No need to fear. They horn, let them horn. Because more important is to have a calm mind to decide correctly. So worst case scenario is what? Let people horn, better than getting into accident and other things. So all these skillful means can help you. Then you don't have fear, worry, anxiety. Then you can drive. You are confident. Then as you develop the skill, then all this you can overcome, because everything needs training, experience. As you develop the training and the experience, you become more skillful. Then you can handle them. Then you can do it very well. So life is a process of learning, training, developing understanding. But you have the Dhamma, it helps you in a big way. Then it can actually resolve a lot of human problems. So application of Dhamma is very wide. Everyone is different. Everyone can come out with their own way, whatever way they work, use it. But what I share with you are the ultimate understanding which has helped my nature before. That's why I share this with you. But you all cannot just take it lock, stock and barrel and think you already know. Yeah, brother, you say, let things be, ma. He is just the way he is. But do you have the understanding? The world is the world. The word come out, but inside your heart agitated, bosong, unhappy, cannot resolve. Then the thing keep on coming back and haunt you. So that is not the purpose. The purpose and intent is very beautiful, versus here. But this sharing is help you to like develop the understanding fast. Like help you do away with all the unnecessary yan wang lu. I don't know how to put it in English. Not only detour, the vicious detour, not supposed to detour. Yan wang lu, they say. What is the English equivalent? My wife also don't know. Yin wang lu. You're not supposed to make that mistake and go around, like go to Holland and don't know how to come back. So all this, the purpose and intent of my sharing is so that you can avoid all this unnecessary wrong detour, or mistake, so that you can learn fast. So that you can really progress. So without people explaining to you, you cannot reflect and contemplate. Then when you reflect and contemplate and you find it useful, then use it. If it's not useful, means not meant for you, then you find your own way, your own solution. But most of the time you will know there can never be any solution better than this. I realize it's very direct, very immediate. But some people with different upbringing, different karmic conditioning with different maybe past, different past, they may not be suitable. So they have to come out with their own way. Sometimes it may be a less effective way, but it suits them, it helps them, it applies to their condition, it applies to their situation. So if that is the case, use it, no harm. You don't have to follow what I share. You devise your own, you come up with your own. In fact, many Kayamita has developed their own understanding. And all these are very beautiful sharing, so that we can learn from each other, we can learn from everybody. Then as I listen, I start to develop more understanding of the difference between individual. So there are so many possibilities, so many case and condition behind. So when we have all this sharing coming together, we learn from each other. That's how the Bodhisattva learn, where they come from many lives, many existence, countless. Then as they go through, they keep on learning, they keep on evolving. So these are the important aspects. Okay, Alicia? Yeah.
Okay, Brad, you...
还有什么?
其实我 come to realize every time 那个 test 来啊，就是给我们去学习 ，like radio say 就是让我们继续的学习去圆满。嗯。
That's why life itself is our greatest teacher. So whatever that arises, yeah, is for you to learn, for you to train yourself. Yeah, that aspect is very useful, huh? Sadhu, huh? Alicia.